seduction, sex, lifestyle. For the true player at heart, Global SLR presents The Real Kings of Pickup. Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash motherfucking Dibazar. Be the best and fuck the rest.
I'm Vince Kelvin, also known as Aphrodite Vince. The legendary Arash motherfucking Dibazar will join us. He's still on the road. We just had a mind-blowing weekend in Los Angeles, and you're listening to the Real Kings of Pickup podcast. It's best to call live, but you can always later on re-listen. It's on YouTube or Podomatic and iTunes. Meanwhile, this weekend was just too phenomenal. We had a free lecture on Friday evening. Thank you for all of those who came. And on Saturday, we had the Vortex. The Vortex, it's basically the exact opposite than what most people are doing in the pickup community. You don't approach, but you create a dynamic that intrigues, and you are being approached. So a major difference that came through was, and I just put a post on Facebook, I've noticed the guys are doing great, but they're still looking up to women too much. And it's obvious that when Arash or myself address women, we look down on them at first. Not in a mean way, but in a way that's more authentic because we know us, we don't know them. So we're going to encourage everybody to continue to make loads of headways. So Arash is still on the road. I've witnessed magic from
him.
I'm here.
Yep.
All right. I just had to say something, you know, on the level. I mean, the growth is constant. And I know you are at it stronger than ever in preparation of the GSLR. On Friday, I brought Arash to a celebrity hangout in Hollywood where I had not gone in some time, but I would go there all the time, you know, build a rep. So they gave us the best table, the back corner table, which they usually, a lot of people want that table. They give us that table. The setup is really not a place, you know, people first are a little bit self-conscious because it's populated by movers and shakers, celebrities. There were a couple of guys who were in the movie The Godfather that were there. So anyway, Arash stands up, goes to the bar. Within less than 1 minute, the waiter comes back to us, the maitre d', and says, oh, wait, if you can, yeah, you guys can move. We're going to make the table bigger. Your friend is bringing girls. Took less than 60 seconds for Arash to arrive in a brand new place and garnish the table with girls. Then after that, he relocated them to the hotel, and the whole weekend was nonstop witnessing that, whether it was women or business meetings we had or parking attendants. I really, really had a kick, brother, and a blast, and the strength that you bring, that guy, that we saw during the meeting, said you revived him. Basically, your presence, the guy is a mover and shaker in his own industry, but just your presence revived him on Friday, and he's at a whole new level without even asking for any coaching. So phenomenal, brother. I have decided you're relocating permanently to Los Angeles. How are you? How's the road?
I'm good, man. I'm driving, so if I get cut out, then, I'll call right back in. It was very refreshing for me. I had a really good time. What a weekend. What a weekend, you know? Like you said, I've grown since the weekend. I'm greater this morning than I was yesterday. And it didn't stop. It went all the way till Sunday night, middle of the night, and now here we are Monday. We're going to get back into town, go do some videos, and just continue evolving. And it's so much fun when we're together because I don't have to do all the work, you know. You go and you get the girls, and then sometimes I can just come in and share the meal, you could say. So let's
yeah. And it brings us to a whole new level. There's a strength about you that's just, you know, unlike anything. And it made it obvious for me, one thing, you know, to have the contrast of seeing you in action, seeing the students, that's obvious, okay? The students are still looking up to girls too much. They're doing good things, and yet it's not impactful enough from the beginning. And then witnessing you, I got inspired, and I was a total fucking pest and it's grown only since, I would stand by the entrance and girls passing by, I'd be like, how rude, you're a world record of rudeness. And to see them go from shock to being more at ease was really, really exciting. So the best is yet to come. Gentlemen, your turn. You ask your questions and we'll take you to the next level. So who's asking the first question of the evening?
Hey, this is Chris, Yoga Chris. And I was curious about, you know, this idea of looking, I guess, down on women and, but not from like, like in a negative way, but in a way that like, you know yourself, you just don't know who this person. That's just like massive, consistent exposure to women, or is it like, is there some key mindset to it, or is it like something else? Like, how do you hold that frame, I guess, is my question.
Okay, I'll go first since I'm the one who voiced that idea of looking down. Words can be very confusing, okay? So looking down may mean like thinking that you're superior when there's an element of that in it. You are superior, okay? Because you cannot ditch yourself for the presence of somebody you don't know. Then if you do that to yourself, what will you do to others? So I think it's about making headways in really reassessing what is what and let go of the bullshit programming, okay? And, you know, everywhere you hear, like, oh, be a gentleman, there's a world record of guys, like fucking it up real fast. You know, I was, brother, right after you left yesterday, Arash and I were with a dear friend of mine who's a film producer and director, and he's doing a spectacular documentary on us. I got to see the beginning of the footage. I ended up last night with him at the Academy of Television, and we're super psyched. So, but the guy knows nothing about pickup. So we're at the table. Within seconds, we're seated next to a girl. Arash gets the girl to sit at the table. The frame is super solid. The girl is melting, and the girl is trying hard to talk about her movie stuff and so on. Right after Arash left, I'm waiting for that director to come because I'm outside having a cigarette. I go back, and I witness him at the table, and the frame has completely flipped, meaning now he's like highly ranked, already achieved 20 years in the making. Movie editor and producer, he's done 5 films already, they've gone to festivals and so on, and he's got a wannabe actress from Los Angeles, and he's trying to convince her to be in his movie. So it flipped in 1 second. So he's not fully honoring all of his work. He's being blinded by the appearance of the women. And also you got to realize how full of shit women are initially, because when you go to a venue yourself, you are already at a place that is far superior at the level of your manners, at the level of you, the way you carry yourself. Then those girls that arrive, they're always looking for a friend, and they have zero manners. Okay, so that's my own observation. What you got to do is 3 steps. Number one, to know that you were under a false impression, that you got blinded by beauty so bad, even though you think almost like a light was flashed so strong in your eyes, that 30, 40, 20 years, no matter how, depends how old you are, after it's still flashing in your eyes. And you think you're okay, but you're still not seeing clearly. So you got to be honest and know, okay, even in my best moments of feeling good about myself and talking to a girl more strongly, I got to know I'm still probably way more than I know it, blinded by beauty. So admitting that helps you to make some further headway. Then you got to realize that all of the conditioning of be nice because she's a girl and so on is bullshit, because there's zero reciprocity, zero. As a man, oftentimes we will not just depart a conversation because we feel like we want to depart without turning around and say, well, anyway, I got to go meet my friends over there. The girl has no problem turning her back. It would not even enter her mind that, hey, maybe you could have politely said goodbye. Okay? And then you're being told, you still buy into the thought that you got to be the good boy and the good man. And if you do anything that's a little bit outside of the norm, you're being rude. All of that falls. And after that, you also got to reaffirm your relationship with yourself, meaning the self is the closest thing. Then let's say next to you, you have a brother or a sister, or a sibling or a family member. So you got to know what comes first. You could not ditch them or start to criticize them or question them or demean them when one individual that you don't know shows up. And then you got to know which side you defend. So the problem with a lot of guys, they become aware of something like that. And what do they quickly defend? The exception, yeah, but what about this? How do you instead start to just ferociously go, okay, it still doesn't really make sense to me, but I'm smart enough and I've discovered enough things in my life to start to make sense out of that. And you begin to do with a little theory, you start with what you hear and then you go further and make more headways. And after a while it flips and then you may have a major breakthrough. Like even recently, my current work of working with myself and so on has had me that breakthrough, and it's phenomenal. They were two girls at the at Walgreens. I'm on the phone with one girl. There's two girls. A third one arrives. I'm talking to all of them, and I see no difference between them and the clerk. That's a guy who's a little slow. Okay? I pass it to Rush.
Yeah, I'll be very quick about it. The bottom line is women, as a general rule, so of course there's going to be one or two here and there, but you're going to not find those one or two every time you go out. As a general rule, they're very pathetic in many different ways. They're not very intelligent. They're not very emotionally stable. They're insecure, all that stuff. So I don't really know how you could have a high regard for them. I don't need to explain to you how I see them as not so intelligent, because they demonstrate that in a conversation of 5 minutes. I don't need to explain to you why emotionally they're unstable, because if you've ever been with a woman, you know she is. What I need an explanation for is the other side. So I would like, not in this phone call, but at some point, for you to sit down with me asking that question and tell me why I should have high regards for an individual that has displayed all of these weak characteristics. See, you guys haven't argued the other side yet. You keep asking for, you know, how do you not want to put women on a pedestal? How do you put them on a pedestal? For what reason are you doing that? Can you explain to me in a way that I can truly understand what's so special about that woman? Because I don't get it yet. It's so clear that she's not special that you must be under a spell to think that. How in the world do you guys think a woman is special? In what fucking way? Especially when we don't even know her. Like, that's the most honest thing I've ever heard in my life. You don't know the woman, and you already regard her as such a high, mighty creature. Based on what? Where is your proof of her titties? You know that's not enough. What makes her so fucking great? There's not one quality that any of you can tell me. She's not going to be nice to you out there. She's not going to have a good conversation. She's not going to be fun. She's just terrible in every social aspect. And yet, you're asking me the question of why I look down. I don't look down on her. I just don't understand why she should be put up on a pedestal. What pedestal? Now, I can give you a million reasons why I should be put on a pedestal when I go out. In fact, I don't need to say it. Just come out for 5 minutes, and you tell me if anybody can interact the way I interact in the social gathering. So the proof is in the actual observation. You guys are under a spell if you think women are special. There's nothing special besides her, besides the fact that she can have babies. That is very special. It is very special that she can have babies. And the way you have babies is having sex. And so we will acknowledge her for her sexuality, because that is what God gave her that made her special. Outside of that, I've yet to figure out what it is. She's not kind, she's not caring, she's not courageous, she's not honorable, she's not straight, she's fucked up in every way. But goddamn, it's a miracle that she could give a fucking birth to somebody. Fantastic. That's it.
What's your next question, gentlemen?
Hey, this is Cosa Nostra from San Jose, and I have a question that segues from that really well. Same topic. Arash, over the weekend, thanks again to both of you for your high-level teachings. It was a fun weekend. Saturday night, there was this one interaction you were having, Arash. I couldn't catch the whole thing because I was in and out of set, but it sounded like at some point you were challenging her, and there was some arguing going on. My question is just, what was her problem? Like, because I was talking with her earlier, so I'm curious to see what I missed or what I failed to detect when I talked to her.
Okay, I remember clearly. How would you rate that woman 1 to 10?
In looks or personality?
What? Looks? What the fuck personality are we talking about here? I don't even really know who she was. Look, 1 to 10.
Let's go with 7.
7, okay? So I would consider around 6, I thought, which is a very low number as a woman, right? So okay. A six is sitting there trying to be a fucking 10 in conversation with me. And she has nothing to offer. Even if she threw her pussy around my face, I would probably throw up. And at that moment, there's a lot of things happening for me. I keep my integrity. Last night, I had a very, very beautiful woman begging to have sex with me. Literally, literally begging to have sex with me. And I didn't have sex with her. Begging. Okay? And I guarantee you, many men, it's not 100% of men I know would have had sex with her. And the reason I didn't do it is my integrity means more to me than that sex, because it's my integrity that got her in the first place, actually. People can feel my strength. That's what Vince was commenting in the beginning. He said a sense of power. That power doesn't come because you compromise your ethics. It comes from a sense of power and ethics. So here I got this some fucking ugly ass bitch who's like a 6 sitting there now acting like she's a 10 because I'm giving her some fucking attention. But I'm running a vortex in. I'm teaching everybody. And we have 6, 7 girls around us, or there's a 4 or 5 girls around us. And they're all not that even pretty. So at that moment, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to fucking put her in her place. And that's what I did, because I always say, man, if there is, my proof of God is simply this. My prayers get answered. And the God of game provides for me somehow all the time when I need it. It's fucking magical. But I also recognize that so many times I earned that every fucking day. So that night, what you saw was some dumb bitch trying to act like a 10 and she's a 6. So I'm going to let her know she's a fucking 6. And that's the end of it. What she thought would happen is I was going to be nice to her and be sweet to her and not argue with her. Fuck you, hoe. The fuck do you think you are, you ugly ass? If your pussy stinks, bitch, I bet you it does. I'll bet every goddamn dollar I got your pussy stinks. Bet you anything that stinks, okay? I'll bet you, nasty hoe. So that's what you were watching, is me just earning my position again, not backing down. It wasn't just her. Her friend tried to get loud with me, too, if you remember. And I handled her fucking friend, too. And I was just there in the middle of a vortex of negativity for a minute. Like, bring it, bitch. Go on. Now, what you didn't see was, did Vince see it? Somebody saw it. There was 2 people that were with me that saw this. There was a super beautiful woman that I picked up on. Her friend started to get loud with me to try to take her away. At the end of the night, so I handled her. At the end of the night, we were at the ballet. God, who was with me? Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. I was, yeah. When, yeah.
Okay, do you remember when security stepped between us? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, and at that moment, I took it to the next level. So now in front of everybody, I'm looking at him saying, bitch, don't talk to me like that. Who the fuck do you think you are? Out loud. Where security, 3 security guards have to step in. And I look at him, get the fuck away from me. Fuck you. Fuck you, ho. Back the fuck up. Now, what is that? That's not going to get me the girl. In fact, her friend was supposed to hang out with me the next day and text me. She's beautiful, but she didn't. But that's okay. Because guess what happened? The next day, the God of game provides me with a quality woman that would actually be my girlfriend if I wanted a fourth girlfriend. What is that all about? Go watch right now on my fan page. I did a live lecture. That's the girl I'm talking about. I'll put it on my Instagram. That's the girl I'm talking about. She's 1,000 times better than all those girls. And she's giving me 1,000% compliance. And she wants to be my girlfriend already. So you see, what you're observing is an individual who's observing higher laws. There's laws and laws and laws. And the higher law always, always can beat the lower law. And my task is to find the higher laws. So when you see me argue with that hoe, or argue with the other bitch, or at the end of the night I had a chance to have sex with some bitch who was doing cocaine, I said, no, get that shit out of your fucking nose. I don't want to be around cocaine tonight. That was 2 nights ago, whatever the fuck it was. You remember that tall, skinny white guy with the long hair, with the fucking bitch he had, the black hair girl? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That girl tried to have sex with me later.
Oh,
I
wow.
Kicked her out of the room. Yes, I kicked her out of the room. Leave, because she started doing coke in front of me. I don't like that shit. Do a coke in the bathroom and come back. Don't let me fucking hear about it. We're good. But you guys now start snorting in front of me. No, you're ill. Like, you're fucking, you're an animal. right? You're a fucking disgusting animal. That's what I think. Hanna, why are you laughing so hard? Okay, that's what's going on. That's my answer.
Awesome, thanks.
All right, I think we're ready for the next question.
I got a question. It's fairly Will. I kind of want to follow up on that question to Arash. So if you have your values and those are sort of senior to getting with a woman, are you creating attraction in this way, or does it sort of just happen?
I create attraction because it's a science. This is the sweet science of seduction, baby. I can take a woman from zero to wanting to have sex with me, and I can do that consistently. And the more beautiful she is, the more I can do that. The uglier she is, the more difficult it is to do that. So I'm creating attraction. When we went to that restaurant that Vince is talking about, it's not like I walked and then suddenly two beautiful women ran up to me and threw their legs around me and were like, can we sit with you? I fucking walked up, I saw two super pretty girls, and I approached them systematically, got them in Vince says less than a minute, but it was probably about 3 to 4 minutes, I think. And I got them back to our table in a place that people don't do that. And you should have seen the bartender. There was a girl and a guy. The hostess was there and another guy. Everybody was watching me like, is this guy actually doing this? Mm-hmm, I am. And I put them around my arm and I said, we need a bigger table. And next thing you know, I go from nobody to that guy. Now, it's also a venue that Vince is very, very well known. We walked in, they treated him like a celebrity at a place with our celebrities. So I have to stay calibrated where I don't want to upset his environment. So I'm aware of this as this is taking place, because if I fuck up, it's a bad reflection on him. Hey, who's that weird guy you brought that was hitting on the girls? I know this. So am I creating attraction? I'm always creating attraction. That's what it is.
If I could follow up, would you say that not putting them on a pedestal creates attraction?
No. Not putting on a pedestal doesn't create attraction. What creates attraction is creating attraction. It's not one thing. It's not one thing. It's a science. Guys, this is why you don't get girls the way I get girls. Like, how many times do I have to demonstrate this? Ask Robert what's online right now. I was lecturing, and I pulled this fine-ass bitch. And that bitch has been texting me, guys. She's been texting me. I'm lecturing. She's walking. I open the fucking window. I yell across. This hoe comes in front of everybody. Sits on my lap. I smack her ass. She gives me a number, and that was about an 8.5 to a 9. That was a good quality-ass fucking woman. Now, that didn't happen because I didn't put it on a pedestal. Like, if it was that easy, then everybody would be doing what I'm doing. You have to learn step by step by step by step. And there's a lot of steps. If you listen to Beethoven, you can't just say, oh, so you play that by playing the piano? Yes. How many hours? And there has to be a little bit of a genius behind it. I'm that genius. If anybody was to prove otherwise, you prove that I'm not the genius. Because I prove that I am every day. So what you want to do is you want to study a genius, find out what he has, and then from there, create your own best version of you. Whatever that is, you're not going to be me, but you're definitely going to do better. So you're saying that, am I creating attraction by not putting on a pedestal? Fuck no. Fuck no. No, that's not what it is. I'm creating attraction by systematically creating attraction. And if your next question is, how do you do that? Well, now you need to come learn. You need to come and learn and watch how I do this thing. That's it.
I'm speaking for myself, and yet I'm observing something, gentlemen, that's essential for everyone. Saturday, some guys came to study the vortex, the most advanced way on the planet, from Arash and myself, in our own unique ways, to reverse frames from the start and have women gravitate towards you. Now, everybody wants the quick fix. You want to know today, and you hope that maybe some answer is going to come and it's going to be one thing. It's never one thing, like Arash just said. And you got to know that you already are witnessing all the pieces. And yet the attachment to have that one unique answer that's going to come and resolve everything is blinding you from mastering the basics. On Saturday, the first issue we had was that too many guys were still operating from a place of not giving themselves the permission to speak powerfully. Let me ask you guys, when was the last time you heard or ever a rush not speak from a place of power? Even when a little tired, it's still a mode of delivery that is very unique and that's also within reach, because it's all a mind fuck if you think that you cannot communicate at a certain level, a certain volume. Even during the pure pickup event a year ago, one guy who has made amazing headways was insisting that he could not speak loudly. I just went and I grabbed a staple gun and I put it on his hand and I said, "Now, will you maintain as I staple your hand," which I would not do, but as a metaphor that you cannot speak loudly. So, you know, it's a series of things. The first one is to know that every time you're on one of those calls or something, we're giving you certain clues, and stop searching elsewhere. Find them here now. The next thing is, for example, the two basics that I keep on repeating again and again is, if you want to successfully do pickup and seduction, you cannot be a guy that talks like that. You are not a guy that talks like that. Yet, why insist to not within, it would take 2-3 days to make that a habit. So everybody on the call, decide. From now on, you communicate powerfully. Okay? So you give yourself 2-3 days to know, no longer ever write somewhere and go, "Hi." No, it's like, "Hey, how are you?" Okay? And you practice introducing yourself like that. Then the first thing that you do when you arrive somewhere is you want quality for you. You wouldn't go to the store and just grab like the rotten items anywhere. You wouldn't, many places, you would not enter the crappiest fucking bathroom and just feel like you're at home, okay? So you want to make sure that you are clear with yourself. You are there to honor yourself and to test what's there. Honestly, me on Saturday evening at that place, one woman slightly more than the other one, but it still was quite a disaster, lacking congruency, lacking manners. I didn't feel like I learned much. I learned 1-2 things. There's one woman that made my reality slightly more open, and I felt a little bit enriched that I could pass on something that didn't originate from me. The rest of the women over there, I felt like I was with retarded kindergartners. Okay? So it's a blend of certain qualities, and my own personal recipe is, number one, delivery. I have refused at some point to communicate in a way that does not impact people. So I will do whatever it takes to impact, even if it takes pushing myself a little bit. From there, also, I'm solid in the frame of I'm testing, because the person that I'm in love with is me. And I'm my own master and my own servant, and I want only the best for me. Okay? I jeopardized myself too many times for women that were not worth it. Then I do shock. Shock for one single reason: to destabilize them, to make them intrigue, because who the fuck would have the balls to start like that? I also quickly eliminate. As I stood by the entrance going, "How rude, 2017, you passing by and you don't even say hello." I know that those who would, and a few started to walk faster, like all weirded out. Those women are not for me. They don't have what it takes. I will waste no time. It'd be like being at the entrance of a business meeting and you check people's wallet and you check their credit. So suddenly one guy's coming to talk about $1 million mansion, and we find out, wait a minute, the guy's completely broke. He has zero money. What's he doing in this room anyway? So I like to quickly eliminate. And it's a victory. It's a victory when the weirdo runs away from the start, because I spent too much time and seen too many guys in those long interactions where from the outside it's obvious that no, this girl, you dropped like 10 of the best looking men on the planet, she will fuck it up. She will get weird on them and she's going to suck in bed. And after that, I just totally level with them by reading exactly what's wrong about their behavior until we uncover something deeper. So I go, "It doesn't make sense. Here you are, you dressed like very trendy, quite good." I challenge them. Then I go, "And you arrive in this place like a little old lady that's frightened. You cannot do something like that. You got to be better to yourself." And then I give them glimpses that around me, their life will grow and things are going to get better. Not because I will give them shit, but just because my presence will make that happen. So, brother, by the way, Arthur is calling me, and I saw some of the footage of what he filmed of you yesterday, and the quality is really, really, really superior. It's really good. I'm very psyched about this project. So, looking at the time, we probably have time for two more questions. We'll take one. We'll have a little surprise for you guys, and then we'll take the other one after that. So, who's going next for a rush?
Mitch here. I'll go. All right, question. When you're in the room with all these women around, you're interacting, passing women back and forth, you decide on a target. Ah, that's the target I'd like to have sex with or escalate further. Right? Given girl A, whatever you want to call her. How do you do that in amongst all those people?
It was difficult for me to hear that and understand that. It's probably the drive. So if you got it, Vince, otherwise it was very difficult for me to understand it.
I think I got it. Mitchell, you can? You're doing your best to make headways and find more solid frames. They are not frames that you've heard from us, because we don't do that. And also, in order to be, there may be times when I know I'm going to fuck that girl, but that's based on a lot of experience. It's not just a decision, random decision, because there you cause attachment. So right there, it's a false frame. We do not operate like that. We do not go, oh, I'm going to fuck that girl, because we know we can fuck girls, and we know we are phenomenal fucks. We don't know her, and we don't know if she has all that it takes. You know, it takes daringness, decisiveness, flow, openness, availability, logistics, time. It takes a lot. It takes making sure she's not on her period, or she's on her period, but she would still get a little bit sexual. So right there, that's not the direction. The prerequisite is your delivery. And your delivery, keep on playing. What I keep on recommending is that your delivery includes more nuances, that you take the listener on a little bit more of a journey, and you are finding elements. You're a little sharper, but watch the keys to not stack the same element. Because you talk a little stronger, but you don't want to sound only just one way. So explore, go softer, go loud and faster, and be very cheerful. And to really discover your range, Mitchell, you must go further. You're still doing it in a way that's too conservative. You're doing more in a way that is normal and part of the norm. So I would focus primarily on that, to get that out of the way. And then for you, it's about creating a flow and detecting when you may have a better candidate, but that's not so much the issue. The issue is for you to not race into thinking you can have sex with her. To know you can have sex, but to slow yourself down and go, we'll see. We'll see. So the frame remains stronger on your side, because if the frame is like, oh, I'm sleeping with this girl, and we pull the girl over and you go, do you intend to have sex tonight? And she goes, no, probably not. Okay? So, a quick announcement. You've seen a clip today on Facebook. It's exactly a year ago that Arash and I released an epic program known as Pure Pickup, an entire weekend of the two of us. Speaking of delivery, Arash did a masterpiece on delivery. The program was extremely well put together, very interactive. In it, I demonstrate on three different women, myself, and it's the richest resource we have so far up to date recorded of the both of us. Okay? Many programs have come since. You get the new ones, of course, and yet we want to do something special. It's no longer available. We have inquiries every day. What about Pure Pickup? What about Pure Pickup? So we're going to do two things. Okay. The first one, anyone on the line right now that does not have Pure Pickup, we're going to allow you to get it. And if you're a Monday caller and you act tonight, you contact me after the call We're going to throw on top of that the recordings of the live seminar, Pure Pickup, in Vegas, I believe, and in Los Angeles. So you'll have three versions of Pure Pickup, the DVD version via download, plus two other versions, okay? This program was, I believe, 260 online and very well worth it for the Monday guys. $100, we get you the Pure Pickup, and we throw in the two bonuses if you're a Monday caller. You need to act on it before midnight today. Contact me. In the meantime, we have time for one final question.
Yo, this is Cosa Nostra. I'll ask a second one. So my question is, you invite a girl to come over around your neighborhood. She replies, I'll meet you near me. My response was something from you, Vince. So, you know, even when you're difficult, you're still adorable. And she responded with like a kissy, like heart emoticon. Anyways, any higher ways I can think of that, because my first interpretation was definitely not the ideal. So what's the highest way to think of that?
Arash, could you hear this one?
Yeah, I'm actually home now. It's parked in the parking lot. It's a question, because I like that answer you gave. You said that's Vincent's answer. And when you said it, I really liked the way it sounded, which was, you're adorable even when you're difficult or something like that, right? And she sent kissy faces. What's the problem with that answer? Do you want another answer, or what's the actual question?
Oh, how should I interpret that? I guess I interpreted it ultimately as a test, and so I just, my question is, do I just kind of not even respond? Because initially I was very irritated and I was like, you know, forget this. Or do I just kind of play with it and see how it goes and, you know, maybe try to get some practice out of it or whatever. I'm kind of caught between those two responses.
Okay. So she said, let's meet close to my place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? I don't see that as a problem.
No.
I'd be like, okay, where's close to your place? Like, why is that an issue? Why is that an issue?
Because I don't know, I have a busy schedule. I already made a suggestion, and then she just kind of, she didn't even give a reason. It sounded like she was kind of just trying to steer the car, you know what I mean?
Okay, I see it. See, no, I don't see it like that. So this is, okay, good. This is a good question, because it's showing a difference in the way we're looking at this thing, okay? So here's how I see it. I don't care. She wants to meet closer to her house. I would say, okay, where are you thinking about? And she would say, there's a Starbucks next to my house. I'll go, where is it at? She goes, blah, blah, blah. Now, I wouldn't show up if it was like in the ghetto, right? I'm not going to go to the ghetto. But if it was like a good neighborhood, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Okay. How about 7? Oh, no, I can't at 7. I'm okay. Okay, what's a good time? She says, hey, okay, I'll meet you there at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Now, I know she's probably going to cancel, because that's what girls do. But I just don't see that as a test. I don't see that as a problem. I don't give a shit. You know, who cares? She says, and you say she's trying to steer. I don't know. I don't really, I really honestly don't even understand why you're thinking that. You know, maybe you're right, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think like that. She could say, I don't want to go out tonight because I'm tired, right? How about tomorrow? I would say, tomorrow, what time? She says, 5 p.m. I go, I teach jiu-jitsu at 5:30. I can't. How about 7? I finish at 6:30. She goes, okay, 7. I said, great, 7. No one's fearing anything. I'm just trying to go have a good time with somebody, and we have to work out our schedule. I'm not the only busy person in the world. I assume she's busy too. I assume she's got issues like other guys she has to juggle. Probably if she's hot, she's doing that. Or she's working, or she has a child or a dog or a goldfish. I don't know what she's got going on. But she's a human too. I respect that. All I care about is, let's meet up. If it's easier for you, closer to your house, no fucking problem. Look, here's what I need from a woman. This is my art. I need to be in front of her and have a conversation with her. When that happens, she's in my world. She's in my matrix. So whatever the fuck it takes to do that, I will fucking do it. If she's like, I need to see you face to face so I could yell at you for 5 minutes, I would say, okay, where are we meeting? Because if those 5 minutes you can hear my voice, then I got you. She doesn't stand a chance. See, this is our art form. This is our science. This is what we do. It's like I'm a super trained Sith Lord or Jedi, and she's a stormtrooper and wants to meet up for 5 minutes in the battlefield. I will fucking destroy you, but just show up. Now, I can't do that if she's not in front of me. It's very difficult. So phone call, a little bit better. Text, a little bit worse, like it just gets. But ultimately, I want to be in front of her, observing her, and she's observing me, and get into an interaction. So for me, I don't really care what she says. She wants to meet somewhere else. Cool, let's meet wherever you want to meet. As long as we meet, that's how I see it.
Gotcha.
Cosa Nostra, I'll add clarification, okay? There's a stage where guys are still under the impression that they have to go out of their own way to structure something very special for a woman that takes them further away from their own place. So that we eliminate because it's the dating frame. For example, you are at your place on one day and she has not yet made any mention of where are you going to take me and so on. And most guys, the first thing that they do, they start to plan on where could I meet her. She has not voiced anything in terms of meet me at my place, I come to your place. And that you want to try to eliminate because you go through efforts that are unnecessary. And you know what happens then? You're setting a frame in which you want to please somebody that has not yet pleased you. So that's one angle. Now, once you're out of that, you toss, yeah, my place, and it's very casual. It's not, you eliminate all forms of rigidity, okay? Because the average guy operates in a way that's very rigid. It's very easy for a woman to piss him off. The slightest little thing, he gets resentful and pissed. We get amused by everything they do or they say, or repulsed, but we cut them off. So then you have the position of, if you're going to say something and she has not said anything, don't say, I'll come meet you at your place, because you don't know her place. You don't know what control you have over there, and you're going out of your way. But we're not saying that if she says, how about my place, that you should make that be a further issue and struggle. Now, if you get that, you were asking for a higher frame. Here's the higher frame. You got to realize that what we call a shit test, okay, in a higher frame, it's her on automatic pilot based on the flaws and limitations of prior man she had. So a higher frame would be none of that applies to me and with me. None of that applies. So when they start to do that, you recognize that they're operating on autopilot based on what they've been told to do in that situation or what they have thought best to do in that situation. Okay. And one thing from there, you can say so many things. And from there, you could be like, oh, she's adorable. She wants to be in her little place. You can tease her. Then you go, oh, okay. No, my place. No, your place. No, my place. So what's it going to be? We're going to wrestle all night or we're going to get to finally hang out? Tell me where. I'll be there. Okay? Or you start to educate them. Educate them and say, oh, that's adorable. I can tell that in the past you have been a little concerned to go hang out at somebody's place. That's just too cute. We're going to make sure, okay, I'll take the first step. I come to your place. You're not a psycho. You're not going to attack me or anything like that. Okay? And if you keep only one thing, vibe and flow. Vibe and flow. Okay? And I think it's very good what she's responding. She just wants to do her little thing. They're just doing their little thing. It's not important. So, well, thank you so much, my brother. And I just cannot wait for the next time. Thank you also, Robert, and all of those who are on this call that showed up in person or were there through the live stream of the Vortex. There's the recording. One guy asked for an exception. He missed the recording of the Vortex, and that too will make available until midnight tonight. If you were not on the Vortex live stream and you do want the recording, contact us. In the meantime, we're going to unveil the lineup of the GSLR this weekend, and the best is yet to come. So for anyone who doesn't have Pure Pickup, contact me now. Live stream, if you missed it, contact me now, and keep an eye open this weekend for the full lineup of the GSLR 17 coming up September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to The Real Kings of Pickup with Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Dibazar. Brought to you by www.globalslr.com. Call live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to get your questions answered.
Just dial 701-801-1220.
Then enter 129-779-160.
Followed by the pound key.
To get your free pickup starters kit, go to www.seductioncoaching.com. Now, and remember, stay sexy.